hard time getting the kids this morning to say amen. But, you know, there's something about a football game. And I know some of y'all know what real football looks like. It doesn't look like this. It looks like.
Come on now.
Amen. Amen. And I know I've been in some dignified folks' homes. And I've watched them just get, wow, when a goal is made. Amen. But if you have the Lord's salvation, amen. If you know that, you know that you're on your way to heaven, that's something to be excited about.
Amen.
And when we come together to worship him, what a time. It's an exciting time. I just want to thank Pastor Myers for giving us the opportunity to come and to share the ministry that you have allowed us to be an extension of your hands and your voice, taking the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the people of Ghana, West Africa. I want to thank you for every sacrifice that you've made in giving, every prayer that you have prayed for us as we've been on the field. And I want you to know that it's God's people's money that gets us to the mission field.
That's right.
But it's God's people's prayers that keep us. And so if you're here tonight and you don't have a prayer card of ours, would you raise your hand? If you don't have one of our prayer cards, can I get one of the men in the back, young man with the shirt on, come over here, white shirt, come on. I want you to grab our prayer cards and give somebody to help you. I want you to make sure you give as many as we have and give them all out. If you do not have one of our prayer cards, raise your hand, keep your hand high until you get one. As we're passing those out, I want you to turn this evening to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 32. We arrived in the United States from Ghana. We left on the 3rd so that we would arrive on the 4th. And I got to tell you, the flight was most interesting and definitely heart-stirring. We had 13 hours to fly. And I sat in a very interesting place, probably my favorite place to sit. And every once in a while, I had the opportunity to open the window. Everyone else is asleep and the sun comes beaming in, and I just want to look at probably the most important part of the plane and make sure everything's okay. My look isn't going to make everything okay, but I just want to look and know that everything is okay. Amen. And so I opened the window, and I looked out at this certain part. We're going to play a guessing game. What part do you think that was? Ah, some said the engine. I think I heard someone else say something else. Come on, brother. I looked at the wings. Amen. And they kind of like going like this. Drooping a little bit and going back up. And we arrived in the United States, and Mama planned it well because we wanted to celebrate the greatness of our nation. And I want you to know I'm as red, white, and blue as they come. Amen. I'm glad to be an American. Amen. I'm glad that these United States is my home. Amen. And when we got here, we wanted to make sure that we went and celebrated that on the mall. And we went down to a building that's probably one of the regal buildings of our nation. We rode on the Metro Rail, and we came out at the building called Archives. And if you know anything about Washington, D.C., Archives is on the right-hand side. And I don't know particularly the name of the other building on the other side. But there's just that sense of grandeur, that sense of greatness, the granite buildings and all that we see as we walk down the Georgia Avenue and on our way to the mall. And that's just the very moment that we were in the middle of that corridor. The largest American military plane, I believe it's the second one. I may have some Air Force men who can help me, but it's black as night. It had flying right next to it, two jets. And when we were walking over it, and it was such an ominous feeling. The stealth bomber came over, and I looked up, and again, it hit me in the eyes, wings. I thought to myself, I'm so glad I'm on the winning side. I'm so glad those boys represent me. Amen.
Yeah, amen.
And the thought of wings just continued to resonate in my heart. And I just began to realize, Lord, what do you have to say to me tonight? Or what do you want to say to me about wings? And so I began to look in Scripture and see what the Lord has to say about wings. If you've turned in your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 32, I want you to stand on your feet. And I'm going to ask you to, over here read verse 1. And if you're over here, read verse 2. And we're going to go all the way to verse number 12. All right. Ready? This side. Ready? Begin. Wait a minute. That's not working. Can you hear and understand? Everybody has the King James Bible. All right. Now we're going to do it like a choir, okay? Ready? Amen. Let's pray. Father, tonight we thank you for the Bible, which is the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, that it has every answer to every question in our lives. And Lord, tonight I pray that you would speak to hearts. Lord, that if you speak, Lord, souls will be saved. If you speak, burdens will be lifted. If you speak, Lord, there'll be a difference in the hearts of your people as they leave this place. And I beg tonight, Lord, that you would speak through your word. We'll be faithful to give you the glory, the honor and praise for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Deuteronomy chapter 32 is a chapter of Moses speaking in the presence of Joshua, boasting of the greatness of God and his power and all that he has done. But in all of that, he comes to verse number 11. The first set of wings that we want to look at. And verse number 11 reads as so. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. Just a couple of interesting things about eagles. One thing about an eagle is that it has one mate for a lifetime. An eagle is very defensive over its young. An eagle is among those birds that when it begins to pursue its prey, it's relentless. It's like a Marine. It will never allow anything to keep it from capturing its prey. The scripture gives us a picture of a mother eaglet preparing a nest. And that effort does not go forward with simply the mother, but the mother and the father eagle prepares an environment where that eaglet will one day be hatched. It's usually a long process before that first eaglet springs forth. And so the preparation time is lengthy. The eagle flies out and it picks up a limb and then it may pick up some type of a debris and its nest is not just a small nest. The eagle is a creature that from head to toe, it's 42 inches and its wingspan is 86 inches at its maximum. And the process ensues and this large, very large nest is built. And the nest isn't built in a lowland. It's built in a highland. It's usually found way on the edge of a cliff. They build the nest. And that mother eagle, when the egg is laid, she begins to sit. And over a period of time, out from that egg emerges an eaglet. And there's something about eagles, and I took my wife, we were down in Sun City, California, and there's a bird sanctuary there. They have all kinds of birds, and as much as we love the eagle and it represents our nation, And there's many lessons we learn from the eagle. When it hatches, it's an ugly little creature. We looked at a mock owl, probably one of the most beautiful birds that there is. And they were in the nursery, and they had this huge, ugly looking beak, and they had no feathers on them. They had a whole bunch of little whiskers. Hey, that's about what we are in the beginning. But over a period of time, that mother eagle, she goes out and she brings back food for that little eaglet, and it has a practice of mother goes out, mother comes back. Ah! Mother goes out, mother comes back. Ah! Mother goes out, mother comes back. Ah! And before you know it, feathers begin to emerge. The mother has a very interesting practice, and the eagle does not do anything without a purpose and a clear a goal in mind. And the mother eagle and the eagle, the father eagle, has a practice of simply coming, and they will stand on the side of the nest, and in an instant they go airborne and they're flying, but they're not flying. They're simply over the nest, and the little eaglet is looking up, and he's observing what the mother eagle and the father eagle is doing, and that's called imprinting in ornithology. And God has given us the responsibility as parents to train up our children, amen, in the way that they should go. So when they're old, they won't depart. And we need to do some imprinting, amen. Put some marks on them that are indelible. The love of Jesus. A serving spirit. A determination to see what the end is going to be like, amen. Not to be sometimey, but we need to imprint just like that mother eagle. She glides. And she glides. Something begins to change. Very interestingly, about 16 weeks, this little eaglet is no longer this little ugly creature that is just wanting to eat, but it has a full coat of hair, fur, or feathers, and it has all the faculties necessary to do what eagles do. But it's never flown. Doesn't know what flying is. It's seen what mother does. It has seen what its father does, but it's never taken a flight. And I don't know exactly how it happens, but I believe if I use my sanctified imagination, I can kind of give you an idea of what happens, because the scripture gives us an insight into what that mother eagle does. Let's read it again. Verse 11. It says, as an eagle stirreth up her nest. What is the stirring of the nest about? The nest has been created to be a very comfortable place, a desirable place, a place of security. But all of a sudden, mama starts making all the fluffy stuff move around. And everywhere that little eaglet turns and every side it goes to, it's like, ouch! Ooh! And it's just not comfortable anymore. Because God has placed something deep within that he doesn't yet know what it is. The burden of the Lord, which stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, he formed a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Hey, have you found out why you have a spirit? Yeah. Are you living by the indwelling spirit of Jesus Christ? Can I tell you this morning, this evening, God has a purpose. Amen. God has a plan. Yeah. He wants it to click in your heart and in your mind. That mother eagle has created an environment that's no longer comfortable. She's created what's necessary to make that little eaglet want to do something besides be in the nest. But he doesn't know quite how to do it. And so that mother eagle, some way or another, she's able to coax that eaglet onto her pinions. And she stands on the side of that nest, and she launches out. And you know what I can imagine, if I can just be childish for a few moments. She's soaring around, and that little eaglet has dug into her pinions, and that little eaglet's probably saying, "Wow! Whoa, this is cool!" Some of y'all have been saying that for too many years. Hello? You don't know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all have been saying that for too many years. Hello, this is really groovy. But God has a greater plan.
Yep.
He wants you to fly. That little eaglet's riding on mama, and all of a sudden, mama does something very peculiar. She goes like, whoa, and that little eagle starts to fall. He just can't quite get his balance. He can't get his equilibrium. But what does that mother eagle do? The scripture says she bears him up. Hey, that's what God's doing in your life. That's what he's doing in my life. There's some things that we just don't quite get yet, but he continues to bear us up. She comes down. She doesn't let that eagle perish. She comes down and she bears him back up again. She goes up for a second round. That little eagle looks at mom, and I can imagine what he said. Mama, why'd you do that? What's that all about? She doesn't say anything. Just takes him back up again, and he's having fun. All of a sudden, it happens again. That little eagle starts to fall. But all of a sudden, he gets his balance. And I don't know about you, and I don't know if eagles can sing, but I believe he probably starts singing, "I believe I can fly." He begins to fly. He realizes what God has given him in his feathers. And you know what? Add to that, mama hasn't fed him in about 10 weeks. And so he's real hungry. And he finds out really quickly that he has visual acuity that is impeccable. He sees something moving down there, and he doesn't know what it is, but he knows it must be food because mama used to bring him back. And he goes into a nosedive. Grabs that rabbit and he goes and rips it up. And I say to you tonight, those are the wings of learning. What is it that God is wanting to teach you? And you're not quite getting it. What are the lessons that you keep having to go through the same thing over and over again? Can I say to you tonight that God wants to bear you up upon his wings, but more so, he wants you to fly. The wings of learning. There's some more wings that the scripture gives us. Look with me in Job chapter 39. Job chapter 39, verse 13. And I want you to understand that God, this whole chapter from the very first verse until this verse is revealing the power of God. And he uses all the animal kingdom to show his power. Can I say to you that in Job's time, God knew exactly what to speak to Job's heart that he would completely, absolutely understand. We may read it and we're like confused. Well, what in the world does that mean? Can I give you a little insight this tonight? Look at Job 39, verse 13. It's awesome. I like this verse. Verse 39, verse 13, it says, "Gavest thou the goodly wings unto the peacocks, or wings of feathers unto the ostrich?" The preceding verses are referencing a unicorn, but even as you read verses 11 and 12, it asks a question. Would you trust him? Would you trust his strength to bring those precious ones that you love home? And then he mentions the peacock. Oh, my goodness. And then he mentions the ostrich. Now, God in his wisdom, as I said, knows how to speak to Job, and Job understands. The picture of the peacock is simply this. Have you ever seen a peacock? If you've seen a peacock, raise your hand. All right. Now, when you see a peacock does just a cool yawn, but he stops. He looks around. It's so purposeful. I love it. He looks around, and all of a sudden, he brings up his tail, and he spreads it out. It's like they know what they're doing. It's like, I'm fine, and I want to show you. And in the wings or the tail of the peacock, we see eyes. And in the period in which God is speaking to Job in the adversities that he's going through, the difficulties that he's going through, he's saying to Job, I know everything. Because the people believe that the peacock was the god of omniscience, that it knew everything. But to the contrary, our God is omniscient. He knows where you are. He knows your address. He knows how to meet you at your greatest point of need. And he's available. The wings of omniscience. But he goes on and he mentions another set of wings. He says the wings of an ostrich. And I like this one. The ostrich is a very interesting bird. It's probably about three or four feet taller than me. It's huge. It's considered probably, it definitely is the largest bird in the world. And when you think about the smallest bird in the world, maybe half of my pinky finger, it truly is huge. And in the minds of the people, in the time in which Job lived, we can look in artifacts of many of the Assyrian kings, and their cups were molded out of that of an ostrich. Why? In the minds of the people of Job's time, the ostrich represented omnipotence, all-powerful. Can I say to you tonight, we know that the ostrich is not all powerful. But our God is. He has all power in his hands. He's able to control the affairs of men. There's no power greater than his. The wings of learning, the wings of omniscience, and the wings of omnipotence. Let me show you. The ostrich it's very interesting. Some people may think an ostrich kicks this way. But an ostrich kicks this way. It has three big nails on the front of its foot. And when it kicks, its kick can kill a lion. Don't mess with our God. Don't mess with God's people. Because God has everything he needs to keep us. I'm reminded when I think of our time on the mission field. We went through a very difficult time when we arrived. We were robbed multiple times, and it was hard. I never forget, I got to the point, well, you know what? I didn't come here to kill people, but I need a gun. I went out and I bought a shotgun. And I'll never forget, I came home, and we had visitors at that time. And I took my shotgun. And I went out, boom, boom. And 2 days later, they came and robbed us again. I guess I sent out a signal like, I'm out of ammunition. What was it that God was trying to teach me about his power, his omniscience? I believe he was teaching me that safety is of the Lord. Amen. Yeah. That there's nothing that I can concoct. There's nothing that I can do in my own strength to protect myself. But he's our protection. Wings of learning. Wings of omniscience. Wings of omnipotence. I want us to look at another set of wings. Turn with me to Psalms 36. Psalms 36, verse 7. Psalms 36, verse 7, and it says these words: How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. There's two words encapsulated in one word. And that one word is loving kindness. And the two words that are encapsulated in that one word are grace and mercy. The grace that saved me, the grace that is able to save. When I think about the fact that Jesus laid down his life out of love for me. They hung him high and they spread him wide. They dropped him deep. And what the world saw as a cross are the very wings of loving kindness that my life rests upon. Can I say to you this evening, I want to abide under the shadow of his wings. I want to give you my definition of grace. I'll give you mercy first. I'm the youngest of 11 children. And in the summer months, when my cousins would come from L.A. and even Long Beach, and they would come down to Paris where my grandmother had a farm, we would have so much fun together. We would get in. My grandmother used to call it devilment. We just find some way to mess up something, break something, but we were having a lot of fun. And I'll never forget, she would, just like the children raised lined up for candy tonight, she would have us line up. She said, "I'm going to get you from the oldest to the youngest." And she would go outside and she would get an Elm limb switch. And man, when the big ones would come up, she'd just wear them out. Ah, they'd be running and jumping all over the place. And I'd watch this whole line go through. And I was the last one because I was the youngest one. And when she came to me, she'd go, "You be good." You know what? I deserved hell. But by his mercy, he saved me. Not because I'm so good, but because he's a God of mercy.
Right.
He didn't give me what I deserved.
Yep.
He didn't look at me where I was, but he looked at me and said, "This is what I can do with you if you just give your life to me." God, that we would rest under the wings of his loving kindness, his mercy. But not only his mercy, his grace. Let me give you the Kearney definition of grace. I've always been as tall as I am since I was about 14. I was 6'2 or 6'3. And I'll never forget when I would get in the line in elementary school. The cafeteria line to get food. They would have the entrees here and the various things. And then the main entree, someone would serve it. And I would get in that line and I'd walk through and I would pick the few things over here that I wanted. And finally, we would get to the main entree. And there was a little lady that sat on the other side of that counter. And she would always make eye contact with me when it came to the main entree. And she would do this. She would look up and I would look up. And she would dip in the main entree. And man, she would heap it on that spoon. And she would put it on my tray. And then she would look at me again and she would smile. And she'd dip it again. That's grace. I didn't deserve it. There was nothing intrinsically worthy of that grace. And it's that same grace that saved me.
Amen.
You know, this morning I told the young people, don't get over it. And you know what? That same grace that saved you should motivate you to tell others about Jesus.
Amen.
Don't let your salvation become old hat. Don't let it be something so-when and something you used to do. Don't let Roundup be one time a year. Let it be your daily practice. I remember as I was a young man, I used to go out and I would have a whole row of people that I bought. When I look at the folks that God has given us in Ghana, hello, I'm still doing the same thing. Three churches planted. 6 Bible clubs. We're going to double that when we get back. Amen. Go out and bring them in. Because they're saved by grace. Place them under the shadow of his wings. You know what? I want you to know the enemy's plan is to destroy them. But when you bring people under the shadow of his wing, you destroy the plan of the enemy. Wings of learning. Wings of omniscience, wings of omnipotence, wings of mercy, and wings of grace. Can I say to you this evening, my prayer is that you're under his wings, that you find yourself settled and in that place where God wants to keep you, where you can be usable to his glory. Never getting over his mercy, never getting over his grace. and propel to do more for the Lord. I want to look at the last set of wings. Look with me at the book of Matthew. Just before we go there, look at Psalms 57, 1 through 5. That's good stuff on the dealing with the wings of mercy. Psalms 57. Verses 1 through 5. It says, "Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge. Until these calamities be overpassed, I will cry unto God Most High. Unto God hath I performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up, Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongues are sharp swords. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth." Rest under the shadow of his wings. Matthew chapter 23, verse 37, our last set of wings. Matthew chapter 23, verse 37. Amen. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killeth the prophets and stoneth them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her children under her wings, and ye would not. I'm reminded of the story of a farmer that had collected all of his wheat. The barn was full, and I don't quite know how it happened, but a fire ensued. And he did everything that he could to put that fire out. But the intensity of the flame made it impossible with his meager efforts to save that farm, to save that barn. In that barn were not just merely the wheat that he had harvested, but there were chicken and other poultry there. There were ducks, and there were so many other animals that were in that barn. And as he watched his earnings for that season go up in flames, he was so distraught. He was frustrated. The smoldering went on for a number of days after the main fire. And finally, it was down to the point that he could walk through and assess his total loss. And as he walked through the barn, he saw a hen kind of ignored it. He walked and he went on and he continued to walk, and but he was drawn back to that scorched, burned figure of a hen, and it was there, but it was out of frustration that he kicked that hen, and under that hen were chicks that were saved because of the sacrifice. Can I say to you tonight, if you're found under his wings, you're protected.
That's right. Amen.
From the strategies of the enemy, from the very flames of hell. But tonight, if you aren't found under his wings, can I say to you, there's a place that was not prepared for you. It's prepared for those who would reject the Lord Jesus Christ, called hell. Can I say to you tonight, I don't want anyone to go to hell. But I want each and every one to be found under the shadow of his wings, under the divine protection of the cross of Calvary. I want to ask you to bow your heads with me tonight.